The Extraordinary Adventures of Arsène Lupin, Gentleman Burglar. By Maurice Leblanc. Narrated by Paul Spera. Sound by Patrick Martinez-Bourna. The Telltale Film. "Do look at the man who's playing the butler," said Serge Renin. "What is there peculiar about him?" asked Hortense. They were sitting in the balcony at a picture palace, to which Hortense had asked to be taken so that she might see on the screen the daughter of a lady, now dead, who used to give her piano lessons. Rose André, a lovely girl with lissome movements and a smiling face, was that evening figuring in a new film, The Happy Princess, which she lit up with her high spirits and her warm, glowing beauty. Renin made no direct reply, but during a pause in the performance continued, "I sometimes console myself for an indifferent film by watching the subordinate characters. It seems to me that those poor devils, who are made to rehearse certain scenes 10 or 20 times over, must often be thinking of other things than their parts at the time of the final exposure. And it's great fun noting those little moments of distraction which reveal something of their temperament, of their instinctive self. As, for instance, in the case of that butler. Look." The screen now showed a luxuriously served table. The happy princess sat at the head, surrounded by all her suitors. Half a dozen footmen moved about the room under the orders of the butler, a big fellow with a dull, coarse face, a common appearance, and a pair of enormous eyebrows which met across the forehead in a single line. "He looks a brute," said Hortense. "But what do you see in him that's peculiar? Just note how he gazes at the princess, and tell me if he doesn't stare at her oftener than he ought to." "I really haven't noticed anything so far," said Hortense. "Why, of course he does," Serge Renin declared. "It is quite obvious that in actual life he entertains for Rose André personal feelings, which are quite out of place in a nameless servant. It is possible that, in real life, no one has any idea of such a thing, but on the screen, when he is not watching himself, or when he thinks that the actors at rehearsal cannot see him, his secret escapes him. Look." The man was standing still. It was the end of dinner. The princess was drinking a glass of champagne, and he was gloating over her with his glittering eyes half hidden behind their heavy lids. Twice again they surprised in his face those strange expressions to which Renin ascribed an emotional meaning which Hortense refused to see. "It's just his way of looking at people," she said. The first part of the film ended. There were two parts, divided by an intermission. The notice on the program stated that a year had elapsed and that the happy princess was living in a pretty Norman cottage, all hung with creepers, together with her husband, a poor musician. The princess was still happy, as was evident on the screen, still as attractive as ever, and still besieged by the greatest variety of suitors. Nobles and commoners, peasants and financiers, men of all kinds fell swooning at her feet, and prominent among them was a sort of boorish solitary, a shaggy, half-wild woodcutter, whom she met whenever she went out for a walk. Armed with his axe, a formidable, crafty being, he prowled around the cottage, and the spectators felt with a sense of dismay that a peril was hanging over the happy princess's head. "Look at that," whispered Renin. "Do you realize who the man of the woods is?"
"No."
"Simply the butler. The same actor is doubling the two parts." In fact, notwithstanding the new figure which he cut, the butler's movements and postures were apparent under the heavy gait and rounded shoulders of the woodcutter, even as under the unkempt beard and long, thick hair, the once clean-shaven face was visible with the cruel expression and the bushy line of the eyebrows. The princess, in the background, was seen to emerge from the thatched cottage. The man hid himself behind a clump of trees. From time to time, the screen displayed on a...